Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashant in Lim, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. It's a joy presenting and sharing Bhagwan's message that has come to us in the form of Vahinis. On every Thursday, every time you go through these beautiful pearls that Bhagwan has written, it reiterates in you about how important it is for us to make efforts to put these into our daily life. Many times it feels that, can we really do this? It is so impossible. Can we really walk on this path? Some of the concepts are so difficult. We are in this world trying to make our ends meet. We have so much of work at home, in the office, in the family. These are such difficult things to really internalize and live in the mad world out there. That's how it feels many times, and it's absolutely understandable given what everyone is going through, just trying to be afloat and survive and thrive in the family, in the world. But the beautiful thing is, if we make that attempt to put these teachings into our life, this whole process of trying to thrive and live and trying to go through the vicissitudes of life will become easier. We think with all the humdrum going around us, it is impossible for us to focus on this aspect of our life. But the truth is, everything that we are doing will get greater focus, and we will become more efficient in what we are doing if we spend little time and think about what Bhagwan has said. Because what he has said is not for us to think about when we are done with life, done with our youth, done with our responsibilities, and now we have time to think about God. At that time, we would have lost the opportunity to experience the power and joy of these teachings, because we are almost done with life. We have to utilize the immense benefit and leverage the power of these teachings as we are going through life. These are not post-retirement concepts. These are concepts that will ensure that you never retire. You are all the time young, all the time jubilant, all the time happy, all the time energetic. So we are in chapter 10 of Sandeha Nivarini, in the fourth segment. And in the previous episodes, Bhagwan talked about various concepts. Some of the concepts were little exotic Sanskrit words, Chidakasa, Chittakasha, Bhutakasha. But Bhagwan came down to the practice, the spiritual practices. And Swami said all of these practices that we are engaged in is towards focusing on the Atma. And then the devotee says, Swami, then where does bhakti come in? We are all the time so much immersed, or at least we feel we are immersed in bhakti when we do bhajans or when we do satsangs. We feel we are on the path of bhakti. And that's when Swami says, oh, you have come to the very beginning again. Earlier than jnana, it is a form of bhakti. And then Bhagwan gives this very beautiful sequence, the very beautiful pathway for our spiritual journey, where he says, Anurakti is the flower, bhakti is the raw fruit, the ripening of this fruit is jnanam and vairagyam. Vairagyam is the final stage, the perfect fruit. So this is what Bhagwan says in segment 10.4, and there is more to it. So let us listen once again to segment 10.4 in the earlier episode, we did spend some time. We will take off from what we discussed in the previous episode. So let's first listen to Bhagwan's words in segment 10.4.
Then where does bhakti come in?
We have come to the very beginning again. Earlier than jnana, it is the form of bhakti. Earlier than bhakti, it is the form of anurakti or affection. All these are one. Anurakti is the flower. Bhakti is the raw fruit. The ripening of the fruit is jnanam, and vairagyam is the final stage, the fruit. Without one, you cannot have the other. The basis for all these is the flower of anurakti. That becomes the raw fruit of bhakti on its own, leading to becoming the ripened fruit of jnana and vairagya. Until this happens, safeguarding this unripe fruit of bhakti is achieved through the above mentioned activities of prayer and spiritual practices. Therefore, everything is one. There is no other. Keep this feeling in your mind always and act accordingly.
At least to keep up appearances in the world, one has to sometimes say, "This is mine." What is to be done then?
Of course, you may have to say so. But simply because you say everything is mine, there is no need for you to feel the separateness. When you travel in a carriage, do you feel that you are the carriage? Look at the sun. It gets reflected in a small pot filled with water, in a broad river, in a mirror, or a polished pot. For this reason, does the sun feel that all these things are he? Does it get sad when the pot breaks or the river gets dry? This is exactly like that. If you take I to be the body, that will lead to all worries. If you don't take it so, you will shine like the sun, independent of anything else. Besides, you will be immanent everywhere.
It means each person must first discover for himself who he is.
Exactly. Inquire into that first. Of course, for those who are not competent, this will be unintelligible. If you tell you are yourself Brahman, you have attained moksha, you are in that stage, to those not competent, they will do no sadhana, they will act without any rule or order, and they will pay no regard to right and wrong. This can be realized through the path of service. The people who have experienced this should not teach this to the undeserving. This must be revealed only by a guru or by great souls or by the command of the Lord. Those who have the inclination and interest can of course freely inquire about it. However, it must be practiced. There is no use simply hearing and repeating all is one. That is meaningless.
So this is what Bhagwan has given us in chapter 10 as one of the very beautiful concepts for us. In fact, every time it feels like that, you read some of these sentences and you feel the entire essence of spirituality is encapsulated in that sentence. And that is how it feels as you listen to Bhagwan's message here. When Bhagwan says anurakti is the flower, bhakti is the raw fruit, the ripening of the fruit is jnanam, and vairagyam is the final stage, the perfect fruit, you feel everything that one needs to learn about spirituality is here. Because everything begins with anurakti. Anurakti is that affection, that bonding, that love we feel. when that bonding starts with love, when you connect to the Lord, that is anurakti, and that slowly transforms into bhakti. And in the previous session, I shared with you the story of Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa, certain glimpses from his life, and we saw how that affection for the mother, once he became priest of the Dakshineshwar temple, how as he served the mother, as he worshipped the mother, the connection, the bond with the mother became so strong, so intense, so overpowering that he now wanted to see the mother. He thought, no, this is not stone. Mother is not stone. I have to see the mother. And so that anurakti so beautifully ripened into bhakti, and it became such an intense sadhana for him, the intense longing for him to see the mother, that the mother had to appear, and that changed everything in Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa's life. He was ignorant of the scriptures and the intricacies of any ritual, but he just poured his whole soul into prayer, and he used to just sing to their mother. He forgot food, sleep, what he was wearing, where he was going, everything he forgot, because he was so consumed with this yearning for the vision of the mother. His nights were spent thinking about the mother. His days were spent thinking, when will mother come? And finally, when he had the direct experience of the mother, he just dropped unconscious on the floor. He was just swimming in bliss. He was experiencing a constant flow of bliss. The anurakti had ripened into bhakti. And that is when Sri Ramakrishna was convinced of what is the purpose of his life, what is his mission, and that is when he thought he is here to create awareness in the minds of hundreds and thousands about universal religion. I shared with you how he experienced God through every path. He worshipped Jesus as a Christian. He thought of the Lord as Shiva. He thought of the Lord as Devi. He thought of the Lord as Rama. He has experienced the Lord. Through every path, he thought of the Lord as Krishna, and he thought himself as Radha. He thought of himself as Hanuman. And then he realized how every path leads to the same goal. And he's someone who physically went through the whole process and experienced the joy of every path. And that's when he slowly transformed into a man of realization. And once that happened, then he longed for souls with whom he can share this learning, souls who would disseminate this beautiful realization and awaken humanity. He felt now he exists only to serve. And now this passion to serve was so overpowering. He was waiting and waiting. When will those people come who will take this message and awaken all these people around who are so unaware of the treasure that is there within them? And I shared with you how he was waiting for Narendranath, who later became Swami Vivekananda, and how in those initial meeting itself, when Naren asked the master, "Master, have you seen God?" And without a moment's hesitation, Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa says, "Yes, I have seen God, and I see him as I see you here. In fact, I see him more clearly God can be seen. One can talk to God. But the problem is, who cares for God? This is what Ramakrishna says. People shed torrents. People shed cascades of tears for their wives, children, wealth, property. But who really weeps for God? Who really thinks about God? Who really is concerned about? Who really, really yearns for God? The amount of effort that we put for little, little things in life. We want to eat an ice cream. We walk out in the middle of the night, if you know that there is that stall, or we take the car out, take the bike out, and we weather the climate, we take the risks and go out for a little simple thing. If you have to pass an exam, we put so much effort. If we need to clear a test to get a job, that is only just to ensure that we have some food to put on the table. But who thinks about slogging? Who thinks about really working to experience God? Ramakrishna says, if one sincerely cries for God, one can surely see Him. And we know how Sri Ramakrishna completely created Swami Vivekananda out of Narendranath, and how he took the mission of the master to various lands, how he wanted the glory of Mother India and its spiritual heritage to reverberate in the entire world. And as he was on his triumphant march to the west and to various parts of India and neighboring countries, the message of the master always was palpating within, always was reverberating within him and energizing him. If you look at the last moments of the master, sometime in the middle of 1885, Sri Ramakrishna showed first symptoms of a throat ailment, which later was diagnosed as cancer. And against the advice of physicians, Sri Ramakrishna continued to give instruction to spiritual seekers and used to fall into trance, and that continued. He would be just lost in spiritual ecstasies. So the devotees and the physicians, they moved him to a house in the northern section of Kolkata, then to a garden house at Kosipur, a suburb in the city then. And there were so many disciples, including Swami Vivekananda, who took charge of nursing him. There are so many young boys who forgot everything else and were busy looking after the needs of the master. And the master was telling the disciples, what is real spirituality? Real spirituality, he told them over and over again, was the eradication of worldly tendencies and the development of man's higher nature. By now, it was Narendranath, Swami Vivekananda, who had become the voice of the master. And he described to the young disciples of Sri Ramakrishna how spiritual path, or following the path of Sri Ramakrishna, was uncompromising self-control. The path consists of uncompromising self-control, passionate yearning for God, and renunciation of attachment to the world. And Swami Vivekananda insisted that those who loved the master should apply his teachings in their lives. You have to have that passion for God. You have to detach learn that detachment from the world. And even as Swami Vivekananda continued to instill the essence of Ramakrishna's message into the hearts of young disciples, they were very concerned about the health of the master. They redoubled their efforts to nurse him. And Swami Vivekananda was always by his side. One day, Narendranath saw that some of the young disciples were hesitant about approaching the master. And that is because someone had told that the master's illness was infectious. And then, do you know what Narendranath did? He took the disciples to master's room. In the corner of the room, there was a cup containing part of the gruel which Sri Ramakrishna could not swallow. And that gruel was mixed with Ramakrishna Paramahansa's saliva. Narendranath took that cup and he himself swallowed the contents of that cup. Just to tell the disciples, do you have any idea about whom you are serving? And that was such an eye-opening experience for all these young disciples. This should be the passion to serve the master, isn't it? And this was also the time when Narendra, understanding the nature of master's illness and realizing that his teacher perhaps would not live long, he intensified his own spiritual practices. His longing for the vision of God now had no limit. One day he asked the master. He told, "Can you give me the boon of just remaining in samadhi for 3 to 4 days at a stretch?" And master said, "You are a fool. There is a stage higher than that. Why do you want to do this? It is you only who sing, 'O Lord, Thou art all that exists.' It is you only who sings that, 'O Lord, everything around is you.' Why do you want to close your eyes and be in meditation?" Sri Ramakrishna wanted the disciples to see God in all beings and to serve them in a spirit of worship. In fact, this is what he said. If you see the God alone, world alone without God, if you are seeing only the world without God, that is ignorance, that is ajnana. If you see God alone and not the world, you dismiss the world and see only God, God without the world, it is a kind of philosophical knowledge, it is jnana. But when you see all beings permeated with the spirit of God, that is what is supreme wisdom, that is what is vijnana. Ramakrishna Paramahansa said, and only a few blessed souls really reach that stage. And Ramakrishna guided Swami Vivekananda towards this stage. And the reason I'm mentioning this is Bhagavan says, anurakti will lead to bhakti, and bhakti should lead you to jnana. How can bhakti lead you to jnana? That is what Sri Ramakrishna was telling Swami Vivekananda. Bhakti is we lock ourselves in our room, we meditate and we want the vision of God and we think that is bhakti. Ramakrishna is telling, open the door and see God in everyone. That is what is the next stage. On another occasion, when Swami Vivekananda had made a similar request, Sri Ramakrishna told him, "Shame on you. You are asking for such an insignificant thing. I thought you would be like a banyan tree. that thousands of people would rest in your shade. But now you want your own salvation, you want your own mukti. How narrow-minded you have become. And that is one day when Narendranath just cried in front of the master. He realized what is the goal of this bhakti. He realized the greatness of Ramakrishna's heart. And that's when the intense fire started raging within Narendranath's soul. One morning he went home and suddenly he experienced an inner fear. He wept for not having made much spiritual progress. And he hurried to Master's presence. He was almost unconscious of what was there around. And when he was in the master's room, Sri Ramakrishna told the other disciples, look at Naren's state of mind. Earlier he did not believe in a personal God. Now he's dying for the true vision of God. And slowly, that is how Narendra's spiritual maturity happened. He was a scholar. He had read hundreds of books. But then he said, I would feel relieved if I could swallow a drug and forget all that I have learned. One day at Kosipur, Narendra was meditating under a tree with Girish, another disciple, and the place was infested with mosquitoes. And Girish tried in vain to concentrate his mind. But when he looked at Naren, he saw that he was absolutely absorbed in meditation, though his body was covered by a blanket of insects. So this focus was coming into Narendra's spiritual quest. And he saw how, even as the master was sick, the master was not aware of the least pain from his body. The master was always in inner bliss. He enjoyed an inner bliss. He was always in that inner joy. The body suffered, but the master was still distributing only bliss by touching, by looking, by speaking. And that's when Narendranath realized how the master is a vivid demonstration of the reality of the spirit and the unsubstantiality of matter. Matter is nothing before the spirit. One day, the master was told by a scholar that he could instantly cure himself of his illness by concentrating his mind on his throat. The master had all the powers to do it. But Ramakrishna said, how can I do this? How can I withdraw my mind from God and keep it on my throat? I can never withdraw my mind from God. This is what Ramakrishna said. And Swami Vivekananda, who was there listening to this, experiencing this, knew what should be his spiritual conditioning. But one day Narendranath, looking at Master's condition, told the Master, why don't you speak to the Divine Mother about your illness? And then they say that the Master told all the disciples, yes, I did that. I told her that I'm not able to swallow any food on account of this pain in my throat, soreness in my throat. And then do you know what the mother told me? the mother pointed to you all and she said, "Why? Are you not eating enough through all these mouths? Why you have to eat only through your mouth?" This is what the Divine Mother told Sri Ramakrishna. And I feel this is that beautiful stage of jnana. This is that beautiful stage, the ripening of bhakti, where you don't exist anymore. You have become immanent. You have become part of everything around. Your mouth is not just your mouth. Every mouth is your mouth. Your eyes is not just your eyes. Every eye is your eye. You are there in every part of everything around you. The Vedantic ideal of oneness, Advaita Darshanam Jnanam, the Vedantic ideal of oneness of existence, became a reality for Narendranath as he watched the final moments of Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa. And once one is in such a state of realization, then one is very easily above pain and suffering. If you see this discourse, see this segment, Bhagavan says, as bhakti ripens in you, you will reach that stage of jnana and vairagya. But Swami says, until that happens, you have to safeguard this unripe fruit of bhakti. And how do you safeguard this bhakti fruit? For it to ripen, the unripe fruit has to be protected. And that protection happens through prayer, through spiritual practices. And when Bhagavan says, everything is one, there is no other, keep this feeling in your mind. Then the bhakta says, Swami, but how can we really, you know, everything around, how do we really say that everything around is one? We don't experience it like that. How can we say everything around, this is mine or this is me? Swami says, simply because you say everything is mine, there is no need for you to feel the separateness. Swami is saying, when you travel in a carriage, that beautiful example Swami gives, you see the reflection of the sun on a pot, on a river, on a mirror. The sun is there in everything. But does the sun get sad if the pot breaks or the river gets dry? So similarly, if you take I to be the body, if you take yourself to be the body, then there will be all these worries. But if you don't think of yourself as the body, then nothing around will affect you and you will be there everywhere. Just like the sun. You will be independent of everything around you. And that is the experience Ramakrishna Paramahansa was conveying towards the final moments of his earthly journey, when the Master said, this is what the Divine Mother is telling me. How does it matter if you are not eating through your mouth? In fact, when you look at the journey of the Master and then you look at the journey of Swami Vivekananda, this whole process of anurakti to bhakti to jnana and vairagya comes alive, comes out so vividly. And Narendra saw in the Master that living explanation of the scriptures regarding the divine nature of the soul, how the soul is all pervasive and how the body is an illusion. On August 15, 1886, the master's suffering became almost unbearable. After the midnight, he felt better for a few minutes and he summoned Narendra to his bedside and he gave his last instruction. Almost in a whisper, the master spoke to him. And at 2 minutes past one in the early morning of August 16, 1886, Sri Ramakrishna uttered three times in a ringing voice the name of his beloved mother, Mother Kali, and he entered into final samadhi. The body was given to the fire in the neighboring cremation ground on the bank of Ganga. And to the Holy Mother, Mother Sharada, the earthly wife of Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa, who was a divine soul herself, to her came the words of faith and assurance from the Master, "I am not dead. I have just gone from one room to another." And as the disciples returned from the cremation ground to the garden house of the Master, some of them felt great desolation, that emptiness. This is an experience all of us have gone through, isn't it? Especially in this month of April, that emptiness again comes back and haunts you. But the moment they pined for the Master and felt that emptiness, they could feel the presence of the Master in the room. His words rang in their ears. They could no longer see his physical body, but they could feel him. And within a week of Master's leaving his body, one night when Narendra was strolling in the garden with a brother disciple, in front of him he saw a luminous figure. It was the Master himself. In fact, Narendra became very quiet. He was wondering if it's an illusion. But it was not just him. Even his brother disciple saw. And he started exclaiming in wonder, "See, see, Master, Master is here, Master is here." And it is these moments that supercharged Swami Vivekananda and the mission of Ramakrishna rocketed. We know how Swami Vivekananda was at the Parliament of Religions in Chicago. And how when he came back, it was a fantastic tribute to the Master, the way he inspired people, the way he inspired hundreds and thousands of the faithful to lay down their lives for the uplift of the masses of India, especially help the hungry and the illiterate. In fact, Swami Vivekananda said, "My plan is to start institutions in India to train our young men as preachers of the truth of our scriptures in India and outside India. I want men. Everything else will be ready. But what we need is strong, virtuous, believing young men who are sincere to the backbone. Once we have 100 such men, the world will be revolutionized. The will is stronger than anything else. Everything will go down before the will, because that will comes from God, and a pure and strong will is omnipotent." This is what Swami Vivekananda declared. A pure and strong will is omnipotent. And for the next 50 years, Sri Ramakrishna Vivekananda says, for the next 50 years, let all other vain gods disappear from our minds. This is the only God that is awake. Which is this God? Our race. Everywhere we find only His hands, His feet, His ears, He covers everything. Everyone around are gods, all the gods. Why should we go after all the other gods when everyone around us is just another manifestation of God? Can't we not worship the God that we see all around us? Let us first worship the gods that are around us. These are our gods. These men, these people who need help, these animals who need protection. They are the first gods we have to worship. My countrymen are my first gods. And in fact, it is these words of Swami Vivekananda and his passion for service that created the beautiful movement that still continues in the Ramakrishna mission. Ramakrishna was the power, Vivekananda was the voice. And if you see what Bhagavan is telling, for you to get that experience of oneness, Swami says one should not just talk about it if you know it intellectually. And one should not preach about it also to those who are not competent. People will simply say that, yeah, I am Brahman, I have attained moksha, I am in that stage, but they would have had no idea what it means. Swami says the only way to realize, only way to experience this feeling of oneness is through the path of service. And no wonder, if you look at the Satya Sai movement, Bhagavan constantly talked about service. Bhajan and service, sadhana and service. Because the only way you can get that experience of oneness is through service, through reducing yourself, converting every karma into karma yoga. One day, a young man complained to Swami Vivekananda that he was not able to make progress in his spiritual life. He had worshipped images. He had tried to empty his mind, but nothing is working out. He went and told Swami Vivekananda, I sit in meditation. I sit still. I shut the door of my room and I keep my eyes closed for as long as I can. But somehow I'm not finding peace of mind. Can you tell me what I should do? And look at the reply of Swami Vivekananda. Swami Vivekananda, in a voice full of loving sympathy, he said, young man, if you take my word, I will tell you what you have to do. You will have to first of all open the door of your room. Don't shut the door of your room. Open the door of your room and look around. Open your eyes. Don't close your eyes. There are hundreds of poor and helpless people in your neighborhood. Go and serve them to the best of your ability. You will have to nurse and procure food and medicine for the sick. You will have to feed those who have nothing to eat. You will have to teach the ignorant. My advice to you is, if you want peace of mind, you will have to serve others to the best of your ability. This is what Swami Vivekananda was drilling into the hearts of the young disciples who are part of the Ramakrishna mission. But there were a lot of people who didn't get it. One day, a well-known college professor who was a disciple of Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa came and told Swami Vivekananda, you are talking of service, charity and doing good to the world. But all of this is Maya, isn't it? Vedanta says that the goal of man is the attainment of mukti, liberation, by breaking the chain of Maya. What is the use of preaching about things which keeps one mind on these aspects which deal with Maya? This person thought that, you know, we're going out and serving is all Maya because everything around is Maya. We should only think about mukti. And then Swami Vivekananda said, is not the idea of mukti also Maya? Why are you thinking that the world around is Maya, but the idea of mukti is not Maya? That also is Maya. Does not Vedanta teach that Atma is ever free? Then why do you want Mukti? So this is how he put people onto the path of service. And this is what Swami says. You have to convert your anurakti into bhakti and bhakti to jnana. You have to go to the path of service. You may know it intellectually, that is not going to help. On one occasion, Swami Vivekananda said, when I used to roam all over India practicing spiritual disciplines, I passed day after day in caves, absorbed in meditation. Many a time I decided to starve myself to death because I could not attain mukti. But now, I have no desire for mukti. I don't care for it as long as a single individual in the universe remains in bondage. He told his brother disciples, the idea of a personal liberation was unworthy of those who called themselves disciples of Sri Ramakrishna. Unworthy. We cannot call ourselves disciples of Sri Ramakrishna if we are thinking about our own mukti. He said, our duty is to serve everyone as the visible manifestation of God. If we cannot serve everyone as the visible manifestation of God, then there is no point of our sadhana. He said, I want to create a new band of monks who would not want to work only for their personal salvation. I want monks who will take that vow of service to humanity. If you look at Ramakrishna, initially Vivekananda was also someone who was absorbed in meditation. In fact, the first time when Swami Vivekananda met Sri Ramakrishna, it is described how his eyes were half closed. He was someone of that nature. He was someone who loved to be in meditation. He was in that state of mind. But it was Ramakrishna who sort of brought down his consciousness to that of the world, because only then he can serve the world. And that is what was the message that Sri Ramakrishna wanted to convey through Swami Vivekananda. And this is what Swami is telling here. You have to serve to be able to become the realized one. So what Swami Vivekananda did is he kept a fine balance between that love for the absolute and that love for meditation, that love for personal salvation, and this irresistible appeal of serving humanity. In fact, he was there in India at a time when India also was grappling for her independence, and Swami Vivekananda, like a patriot saint of modern India, was inspiring people where their focus should be. He sacrificed that bliss of samadhi to the amelioration of the suffering of men, and that became infectious. There were so many disciples of Swami Vivekananda and contemporaries of him who gave themselves to service. One of them, Akhandananda, he fed and nursed the sufferers from famine in West Bengal. There was another who opened a famine relief center. There were so many such social welfare initiatives that were started by many brother disciples. And Sri Ramakrishna, Swami Vivekananda said, I only pray that may I be born again and again and suffer thousands of miseries so that I may worship the only God that exists, the only God I believe in, the sum total of all souls, the God, my God, the wicked, my God, the miserable, my God, the poor of all races, my God, the needy of all species. This is the God who is my special object of worship. This is what Sri Ramakrishna's focus was. This is how he inspired. And to me, this whole process that Bhagwan here talks about, for us to reach that ultimate goal of Vairagya, for us to reach that stage of absolute detachment and renunciation from the world, it's very difficult. Many times people think, how can I just renounce everything? The only simple way to do it, as Bhagwan is telling here, just engage in service. Engage in doing everything as karma yoga. Engage in doing everything as a service to Him. And then slowly we will experience, we will get that realization of the oneness of creation. And we won't have even realized how this happened. We won't have even understood intellectually. And these are things that cannot be understood intellectually. These are the things for us to get a real experience. And the real experience comes only when you put this into practice. So in this segment, so beautifully, Bhagwan, through this example of the sun, this reflection, and the question of the bhakta, Swami is telling, yes, the ultimate goal is jnana and vairagya, tyagene ke amrutattva manasuhu, renunciation. Vairagyam is the final goal, but the path on which we are there now, the path of bhakti, we have to protect that path, we have to protect that bhakti, we have to protect that fruit of bhakti through prayer, through all these spiritual practices, through bhajan and everything, and engage in service. And that is what is the focus of the Satyasai organization. That is what should be the focus of everything that we are doing. That whatever we do, we have to ensure that there is sadhana and there is service. That this sadhana without service is a bondage. And sadhana and service without sadhana also is a burden, as they say. If you do service and you don't know why you're doing service, how you're doing service, then all that service goes down the drain. And if you do sadhana but you forget service, then it will not take you out of bondage. So sadhana and service, both are important. Even as we do our spiritual practices, we have to serve. We cannot shut ourselves in our room and say that I am fine, I am good with my bhajan session and with my own connect with my Swami, and close our eyes to what is happening around. And if you are engaged in service, we have to be very careful that we are doing it in the true spirit. Otherwise, all that time, effort that went into it will not bore, will not give us that result, will not lead to the right fruit. So let us maximize our efforts and get beautiful returns for whatever we are spending our time, energy in, and ensure that whatever we do is leading us to our spiritual progress, leading us to our goal. And this we will experience only when we put it into practice. As I began this session by mentioning that let us not think this is impossible. Let us not think that this is very difficult for us to practice. This is what will help us, whatever we are doing. Let us think, am I doing it selflessly? Let us think, am I engaging in some service, even as I am losing myself in thinking about God? Am I seeing God in everything around me? Am I helping to reduce the suffering of someone around me? We have to keep our minds alive and alert and focused and keep asking us these questions so that every sadhana that we do leads us to our goal. So dear listeners, we'll continue this in the coming episode. There is one more segment to chapter 10 of Sandeha Nivarini, and Bhagwan gives us some more beautiful jewels in that segment. We will come to that in the coming episode, and let us hope that this sadhana that we are engaged in becomes more fruitful. Our bhakti slowly ripens into jnana, and very joyfully we detach ourselves from the world with no pain, with absolute joy, and experience the bliss of seeing Him in everything around. And only experiencing Him so that nothing around affects us and we are in that state of beautiful freedom. Thank you so much. As always, if you have any queries, you can write to listener@sssmediacenter.org. You can also send us your comments on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Offering this little endeavor at His lotus feet with deep humility and gratitude, I take your leave. Thank you so much. Sairam.